Hello everyone, how are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. Yes, it's time for a live Q&A, and as you can tell by the quite bland opening thumbnail I made for this is a very last minute slap together, quick, just nothing to talk about, no topics set up, lined up, real live Q&A session where I'm just going to let you guys ask questions, and I'm going to try my best to answer them as best I can with my opinions. I'm doing it this way because I have just come off another show. I've just been talking with somebody else about the clowns, and that'll be released soon. And I'll be uploading on my own channel eventually as well. And I'll be obviously putting links up when that gets released on his side of things. So that's just finished up, and I'm here now. And like I said, I've just not had any time to prepare, like a little word waffle, as my wife has come up with a new term, a word waffle presentation about, you know, whatever was on my mind that time. The last live Q&A was about the old lines in the sky, you know, so if you want to go back and listen to that one, that was certainly an entertaining one for sure. But today is really going to be a live Q&A. I just want you guys to ask questions, and I'm going to answer it, and I'm just going to do that for as long as I can, because it is already 10 past 11 in the evening for me. So I'm going to do what I can for as long as I can. So ask your questions while you got me here, guys. Do what you can. I'm going to talk to you about my week so far, because it's been a lot going on, let's put it that way. It was my lovely wife's birthday yesterday, so happy birthday to my wife, Keely. She turned 32. So yesterday we obviously spent the whole day together as a family, cake, presents, all the rest of it, you know. So that was a good thing. That was a good day. That was a good time, you know, and I hope you, my wife says she's going to trademark the phrase word waffle. Because I thought it was great. And as soon as she said it, I said, that's pretty good that, you know, I'm going to steal that and claim all the credit. It's the first thing I said to her. But she's definitely never, she would never allow me to do such a thing. So yes, word waffle from my wife. And as another birthday present, I'll let her have this one. So yeah, she just turned 32. So yesterday was all birthday stuff. So I didn't do any work yesterday at all. It was the day off. And then on, what we're on now, Wednesday, on Monday, the day before that, I got a phone call at like 9 a.m. from my mother, and that's never a good sign when your mum calls you at 9 a.m. when you're a 32-year-old man. And I had a sixth sense about it before I answered the call, to be honest. And yeah, I was being told that my grandmother, at the age of, I think she was 92, had passed away in her care home, and they had been there all night, you know, from 2 a.m. So that's what I was kind of dealing with on Monday, and then my wife's birthday on the next day, which is pretty typical luck, you know, those things would line up for my wife. She'll tell you it always rains on her birthday. This year it didn't. It was sunshine and lovely weather on her birthday, but of course something else happened, figuratively speaking, naturally. So that was kind of my week. So I've really not really done any work up until now, and I'm not going to lie with you, I've not really fully processed the situation. I think it takes a few days it's gonna take a few weeks once the funeral comes around, where it'll probably properly sink in. I'm going to be a pallbearer, so I think that's probably when it'll all actually sink in and kick in about the reality of the situation. But you know, when you know, she was at that age where it's kind of, I suppose, if all as a family kind of been mentally preparing for this eventuality as it is, you know, she hadn't been eating for a while, and you know, the general complications that come with extreme old age, you know. But that's, yeah, that happened. And you know, in memorial to my grandmother, I will say she is probably the one person who has made sure I came back to my faith in many ways in Christ. And I don't know if I did tell her, but I'm not sure she was with it by the time I explained this to her enough to understand or even remember. I'm not sure she even knew who I was when I was talking to her, to be honest. I think she may have thought I was her son, not her grandson. Who knows? But she was a devout Catholic. Very much had, you know, a shrine to Mary in her bedroom, was always wearing a gold cross, you know, at all times. And you know my opinion on Catholicism, you know, it's not the way I would do things, and I have my issues with that, you know. But her devotion to Christ throughout her entire life and her unwavering faith and dedication was always an inspiration. Even when I was a rolling around with the pigs, heathen, denier of God, atheist, you know, I still had respect for her and would never do anything or even dreamt of doing anything to put her faith down in any way, shape or form. She was untouchable in my eyes. And, you know, my grandparents, my grandfather died, I think, 4 years ago now, around the time COVID was kicking off. He supposedly went in with a chest infection or something and then got COVID in hospital and then died of pneumonia, apparently. But he was old as well, you know, he was, I think, in his 91 or something like that. He was, you know, up there. And but as a couple, you know, as growing up watching them, I always saw them as like, they were humble enough. They had saved for everything they ever owned. They never got into debt once in their entire life, you know, and they were of that generation where they bought their house for like 12 grand and paid it off like 70 years ago, you know, so they've kind of never needed to worry about anything like that in a way. And no, they had humble enough lives. I think she was a cleaner and I think he had many jobs here and there, but he was in the RAF originally when he was a young lad, stationed in China, in Hong Kong. This is just after, well, in the 50s, I think that was. And, you know, and I kind of looked up to them as like an inspiration, as an aspiration, to the way to live life responsibly. You know, they were healthy, they were eating proper meals, cooked from scratch type people. And again, she had had this faith, you know, and I never really thought much of it. But I remember she took me to a church when I was young, very young. And a woman passed out in front of me. And she hit her head on the pew. And I don't think she got back up. She was an old woman. So I think I may have seen somebody die in church when I was very young, right in front of me. And that put a sour taste in my mouth of church as a child for a long time, you know, and the prospect of God and the rest of it. And it took me a long time until I was, what would I have been, 22, 23, before I brought God back into my life, accepted Christ back into my life, you know. But fundamentally, I would say it was her who, from a young age, brought God into my life. Do you know what I mean? And I don't feel like he ever left me from what she had done for me. And I remember praying as a child in her garden as I played for a bird that had fallen out from the roof, guttering, a baby chick, you know, a bird. And I remember praying over it, and I wouldn't have done that if it wasn't for her influence. And I think, in a way, God was always with me because of that early kind of connection that was made. So, you know, when I heard that she died, it was kind of, I remembered all of that, you know, and yeah, so I'm sure I'll see her in the kingdom. I'm positive I will see her in the kingdom. So the sting is taken away slightly. So there we go. There's a slight eulogy to my grandmother. And I'll keep you updated, you guys, as when I'm going to the funeral. And when all that's done and dusted, and I'll update you on that. But yeah, that's she was a huge influence on my life. And like I said, I'm still kind of processing it. So that's been my week. That's what I've been doing. I got back into work mode tonight. I did my Nephilim Clown interview earlier. And what was the podcast name? I'm sorry. And that sounds awful, doesn't it? But I go on so many now and my calendar's pretty much booked up. But it was Cramming for My Exams, the podcast was called. No, Cramming for My Finals. That's it. Cramming for My Finals. And it was a good, solid, enthusiastic Christian man with his own little podcast there called Cramming for My Finals. And that will be released on his soon enough. And like I said, I've released it on mine as well. It was a fun conversation, just an hour and a half. And we got into some details here and there. What's that? Lol, you're everyone's wife now. I'm not sure what I missed there. My wife is sure in the chat having some fun from the looks of it. Sorry if you lost, Paul, says Pete. Thanks, no problem. Don't worry about it, you know. I'm okay. But yeah, thanks for the support, guys. That would be traumatic for a child, Paul, says Bruce Jesse. Well, I guess in a way. I mean, I've death has been in my family, you know, people have died before, so this is not the first time have dealt with death, and seeing that woman possibly die in front of me, I suppose it may have been traumatic. I didn't lose sleep over it. I don't feel like I've got any kind of like deep rooted trauma from it. I think I may have been too young to realize what was going on at the time, you know. But in hindsight, looking back as an adult, I'm like, damn, I think that woman might have died. I don't think she would have come back from that, you know. It was a loud thud on a piece of wood from the crack of the side of her skull. She was frail, you know, and it's kind of, we'll see, we'll see. Maybe I do have some deep-rooted trauma I'm not dealing with from that. I don't know. I really don't think so. I mean, the fact that I'm laughing about it may mean I'm masking something deep inside. I honestly don't know. We support you, Paul. Stay safe, stay healthy. Holy Spirit will move the little season where it needs to be. Don't mind the consumers, says Peter Hamlet. Oh, well, the little season thing. You know, look, guys, I'm on board. Like, I've done the work. I've done a lot for the little season community. I've done the presentations. I've given introduction to concept speeches everywhere I possibly could. I've got to decent enough levels. I got to the Sam Tripoli. I managed to get Eddie Bravo to mention it to Joe Rogan inadvertently. I didn't plan for that to happen. So I think I've spread some seeds everywhere, you know, and let them germinate for a little bit. And I'm taking a rest from all of that because it just got a bit too tense. The crazies came out and it just got, and I remembered just how wild it can get out here on the internet. And I remembered that there are literally people out there who probably want to kill me. And that's just the Marmite nature of Paul Stobbs. Either you love me and think I'm a swell guy, or I'm the devil incarnate who needs to die a horrible, painful death. It's one of the two. And it'd been quiet on the crazies front for a while, but as soon as people started making, like, attacking, debunking videos towards me as an individual, all the crazies came back up in the comment sections, and I remembered those people existed. All the looking for is just somebody to gather around, you know, and it makes you think twice about your family's safety and your own safety and your own sanity sometimes when that type of thing happens. And it's like, all right, you know what? You want the movement, have the damn movement. If I'm not the guy who deserves to have it in your eyes for whatever reason, even though I never had it to begin with, and you're making some sort of weird image of me that doesn't exist, you want it, have the damn thing. Run it into the ground. Let's see how far you get, you know, because I'm not looking to be anybody's leader. I'm a follower of Christ, and I want Christ to be everybody's leader, you know. So I got exacerbated. I got sick of it, you know, absolutely sick of it. But it doesn't mean I don't believe it anymore. It doesn't mean I'm not going to still mention it or relate my work back to it in any way, shape or form. It's just, I think I've put myself on the front lines for long enough, like a year. And I think it's somebody else's turn to take that baton, some fresh blood, someone who's got more of a fight left in them, you know, to carry on and go ahead full swing ahead, you know. But I'm taking a break from it. I'm going to watch for a little bit. That's just what I'm doing. That's all I'm doing. You know, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still a community member. I'm still watching the research. I'm still getting in and all, you know, but there's also some weird stuff going on right now, which I really can't talk about because it's just, it's not my place. And I don't want to cause drama or anything. It's just stuff I want to watch happen for a bit. You know, I want to see where it's going because I'm suspect. I'm dubious, shall we say. That's all I'm kind of on with that. I just want to see. And all I'll say is it all went downhill after the announcement of that supposed idea of a conference. And this is nothing to do with the woman who organized it. She was great, and it's no fault of her own. But something, it definitely brought the demons out of people when that type of thing was happening and being discussed, and it caused shifts happened quickly after that announcement. And I suppose it's kind of like I learned a lesson. It's like you don't tell the devil what your plans are. You know? You never reveal your cards. It's that type of thing if you want to actually win at this game. And I think lessons were learned is what I'll say. We all have enough information to share with the world, and no more consuming time to share, says Peter Hamlet. That's right. Yeah, that's right. What do you think cryptids like Bigfoot, Dogman, Black-Eyed Children? I seen the big three before, Paul, says Shauna. Well, my... my take on this is that the modern cryptid phenomena of when it comes to things like dog men, bird men, fish men, mermaids, sirens type stuff, or hybridized creatures of some kind, where it's like the half human, half something, like a werewolf, let's say, or you know what I mean? Those type of monsters and creatures that we find all over the place, animal men of some kind. I think they go back to the mixing of kinds just before the flood. And I think some creatures were created during that time where mankind was given the knowledge how to genetically engineer themselves and mix themselves with animals. And I think that's followed down into the modern day in a more watered down, isolated pockets of regions of the earth situation where there are very few in number, but there's occasionally sightings, if you get what I'm saying. So that's my aspect of that. That's kind of what I think of that type of thing. And that's referenced in the Book of Jasher, if you're interested. But yeah, it explains clearly that man did that to themselves. They became X-Men. They used to be men. Now they are mutants. And that's why X-Men is a reference to that. And there's even Beast Man in that one, isn't there? And all sorts of things. So I think that's where the modern cryptid phenomenon comes from. I think it's residue left over from this mixing of kinds period just before the flood. And some of them survived through many means. I mean, it's handy to survive a flood when you've got yourself some gills from your new fish-human hybridization, you know, or to fly above the flood and the rains and float on top of the flood like a bird with some hollow bones after mixing yourself with the birds, you know, and becoming harpies, shall we say, something like that. So that's kind of my take. I think Bigfoot is more akin to a Nephilim descendant. I think the Nephilim had children themselves called the Nephil, and the Nephil had their own children called the Eliud, and then it goes down to the Elio. And I think they are like watered down versions of the OG Nephilim, more human rather than animal, rather than angel, shall we say, but still angel within them. And because Bigfoot have a lot of telepathic, psychedelic, mind-melding abilities from all the reports I've seen, I think they have angelic abilities, so I think they do have Nephilim in them. By that I mean angel blood, which means it gives them divinity of some kind, like a powers, supernatural powers in the physical realm. So I think the Nephilim are likely the Eliud or the Nephil or the Elio or some iteration of that. And that's the closest thing we have to real descendants of the Nephilim today, I would say. And I think they probably survived the flood underground, likely. So there's my initial take on cryptids, you know. MK Ryan says, it seems Clint Russell, is that from Liberty Lockdown podcast? Yeah, I talked to them not long about maybe like a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, is somewhat seriously considering the Bible these days. I think he could use some guidance. I wonder if you could help him out under the guise of a truth of therapy session. You know, that's probably not a bad idea. I might invite him onto the truth of therapy sessions just to get his take on it all and say, so where are you at with the Bible now, man? And let's let him talk and let him get his ideas out. I think it's good for people just to talk sometimes. I think it's good to hear what you believe out loud. Because when you're in your head, you don't really know what you're talking about. Like, this is a piece of advice for the tips for truthers. Say it out loud, and that episode will come up eventually. But as a taster right now, something perhaps Clint could do with, which is might be a good idea to get him onto the truth therapy sessions. But when you're like researching conspiracy for ages, you don't talk to many people. You know what I mean? You keep it to yourself, don't you? Because it's hard to find people you can trust to discuss these things with. And so you tend to like formulate new beliefs and ideas and opinions about things while consuming all the information out there on the truth, you know, and the corruptions everywhere. And you never really stop to really think about your new beliefs and what it is you've now come to believe because you've been in it for so long in your own head. And I find if you just start saying out loud what you believe, you can hear what it sounds like. I know that sounds odd, but you realize like, oh, I sound like an insane person. Like you start to hear it. It's like, is that what I believe? Did I just say that? You'll say that. You'll think those things to yourself. And look, you may realize, okay, yeah, I guess I am a crazy person because I still believe it, you know, but I think it's good sometimes just to say it out loud and hear your beliefs. And maybe Clint could just let it out what he's thinking about Christianity. And yeah, I can definitely give my input here and there and nudge him in the directions I can and plant some seeds. But fundamentally, if Clint's on that journey, you know, it's between him and God. I can't save anybody. I can just be a signpost, and I'm sure hopefully Clint will get there. He seemed like a very reasonable, down-to-earth type of open-minded guy who gave me a chance, you know. So yeah, good stuff. I'll reach out to Clint, see if he wants to be a Truth or Therapy Session guest. Sounds good. More Clown World content, says Shadow Work. I can do that. I'm working on the clown stuff. I am working on that. I'm in the middle of doing the audiobook. I am editing chapter 13 now. So that means there'll be 6 more chapters to read. And then you'll have an audiobook. You guys will have an audiobook, okay? And shall I play a little snippet for you guys quickly while I get a drink? Have something to drink. I'll give you a sneak preview of the audiobook in work. So I just finished recording chapter 12. Like I said, I'm doing chapter... Yeah, biblically accurate angels. I'll just play the first half of this for you guys while I have a quick drink. And yeah, this is the audiobook in practice. So here we go. Section 2, The Clown. Chapter 11, Biblically Accurate Angels. Section 1 established the history of the Nephilim, including their creation, destruction, and subsequent demonic fate. Now we can get into the finer details of these creatures' features, before we begin to draw our parallels to clowns of the modern era. The first step is to examine the angels from which these giant creatures inherited their ghastly visages. When a modern mindset thinks of angels, they likely imagine the white-robed, tall, handsome young man with bright white wings and a shining halo above his head. Many classical Renaissance paintings, stained glass mosaics, and church frescoes have endlessly romanticized this stereotypical description. Modern mainstream media renditions haven't strayed much further either. This may be because these interpretations make the most sense to us in terms of metaphor. A bird is light and graceful and flies in the sky, so to portray an angel from heaven with such features is only logical. The early church understood angels to be beings of pure spirit. Therefore, creatives had a lot of wiggle room when creating physical representations. What we can glean about the appearance of angels from these European and Middle Eastern artworks varies greatly. However, one thing that seems to be understood and agreed upon is that angels in their proper spiritual form are not distinguished by gender, though they can manifest as a distinct gender if they wish. We can find evidence for this in the Bible. Daniel 8:15 describes the angel Gabriel as appearing in the likeness of man, and in Daniel 9:21 he is referred to as the man Gabriel. Such human descriptions of an angel are consistent with previous descriptions of angels, as in Genesis 19:5, when the people of Sodom accosted Lot and the two angels who were with him, proclaiming, quote, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." End quote. From these descriptions alone, we can deduce that these beings were so attractive that everyone who saw them wanted to rape them in Sodom. Though they were irresistibly attractive in a divine way, they had no other supernatural features, such as wings or a halo of light. John Chrysostom, a 3rd century early church father and Archbishop of Constantinople, explained the significance of angels' wings as merely symbolic of their divinity. Quote, "They manifest nature's sublimity. That is why Gabriel is represented with wings. Not that angels have wings, but that you may know that they leave the heights and the most elevated dwellings to approach human nature. Accordingly, the wings attributed to these powers have no other meaning than to indicate the sublimity of their nature." End quote. Angels can shapeshift and manifest in many forms they deem fit for the situation. From reading the Bible, It would be fair to assume that the lesser angels who regularly interact with humans at the lower levels don't have wings. However, we know that the higher class of angels who are right next to the throne of God do have wings. It would be pertinent to remember that the angelic hosts of heaven have a specific hierarchy in place to differentiate the roles each class of angel plays within the creation. We know that the highest class of angels surrounding God's throne have bizarre descriptions compared to the lower angels. These elites are described in the prophet Ezekiel's vision of the heavenly chariots / wheels and the cherubim who rode them in the 1st and 10th chapters of the book of Ezekiel. Quote, "And everyone had four faces, and everyone had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the colour of burnished brass. Their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And as for their appearances, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. And their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and the wheels, were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel! And every one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third face of a lion, and the fourth face of an eagle." End quote. So there you go, there's a taste of what's to come. That's actually not edited yet, that audio. The original audio is going to get run through a system that gets rid of some background hissing, makes the level more normalized, and it sounds pretty legit with the program I'm going to be using, so that's going to get edited to sound really pleasant to the ears when it comes to headphone settings. Right now it might be a bit piercing because it's just the raw audio. But I'm getting through it. 7 more chapters to get through, and then the volume 1 will have an audiobook accompaniment to go on Amazon as well. So that's to look forward to in the coming month or two. But yeah, there's a little sneak peek. I hope you enjoyed my little clown slideshow. I've not got to use that one in a long time. I've missed it. Hope you've enjoyed that one. Yeah, we're definitely doing more soon. So back to the chat, guys. Any more questions? It's always good to highlight my name, like at Understanding Conspiracy, if you really want me to see the question. Miles asks, have you seen the controllers are releasing photos of Chicago World Fair construction? They know we know. I saw you post that in the Telegram group, actually. Yeah, they are quite literally posting like images of them constructing the World's Fair, aren't they? Like, it's nothing but scaffolding as far as the eye can see from what I saw. And the timing of the release of all these photographs does seem to be very, very sus. Pretty suspect indeed. I have seen that, Miles, yeah. They know we know. I already told you they know we know when that guy in a Baphomet mask knocked on that person's ring doorbell holding up the Revelations 27 on his bloody card. Like, what are the odds we're talking about specifically that one verse and now we have some Satanist in a devil mask showing it on the screen? You know, yeah, it's happening. They know we know. They know. And we know they know that we know. It's just going to become an endless cycle, isn't it? What have we got here? So, waiting for the audio. I don't have any time to sit and read lately, says Amber. I know. I'm going to make an advert for the audiobook, I think. And I'm going to rip into how basically people can't read. So, I'm going to make a joke about how you can just pretend that you can read by putting your headphones in while reading the book, and it can be our little secret. No one has to know that you're actually just listening to the audiobook, you know. I think I'll find something. I prefer audiobooks, no one will expect picture. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I need your voice to read me creepy clown bedtime stories, says Pepe. Well, you know, maybe I do some voiceover work. If you want to hire me, I'll work out a price. We'll see what's going on. My wife says she's just here to keep me grounded while everyone is like, oh, you have a way with words, Paul, etc. That's true. You do keep me grounded. That's right. I'm just an idiot who doesn't know when to shut up. I'm going to keep saying that. Steve's back. I played his song in the last Truth of Therapy session called Soul Eater. It was a funky jam. It was a good song. People liked it. He said here that on Bandcamp, so bandcamp.com, I assume, you can find his page called Apologies in Advance, and you will find the song Soul Eater under his Bandcamp page called Apologies in Advance. So if you guys want to go check that out, go and look there, go and find it. I'll leave a link in the description after the show and I'll get it out there. So yeah, good to see you, Steve. I look forward to the new music. Whenever you get that finished, just send it my way and I'll promote it on this channel for you free of charge. No problem at all. I actually do have some more music for you guys. Our very own Pearl, a regular here in the chat. I think she is here in the chat last I saw. She's somewhere. She's knocking about. But her husband, I think, or boyfriend, I don't know. I'm going to say husband. I don't know. Her partner is a bit of a musician himself, and he's just created a song, which Pearl has shared with me on Telegram, and I am going to share that with you guys right now as a mid-show break. I'm going for half an hour. Like I said, guys, I'm only going to go for about an hour or so today. So I'm going to share this song by Pearl's partner. He goes by Lek. I think it's L-E-C. Is that correct, Pearl? Correct me if I'm wrong. Let me just check here. It's called Alec. The song's called Seeker. He just released it. She says it's so beautiful, but of course she is biased. It is her husband, just to be clear. And I'm going to share it with you guys as well. His artist name is X Lek, but it's pronounced Lek. The song is available on all music platforms. But I'm going to play that for you guys now so you can enjoy it. It says just a mid-break. And it gives me a chance just to gather myself and get some questions in while this video's playing for you guys as well so we can keep the show going. So let me quickly share the screen and I'm going to press play on this music video for you guys here now.
Up in a dream, it feels like the world's lost and it just don't seem right. We lost sight and we just can't focus, trying to walk while the devil provokes us, calling out to have my prayers heard. When I'm struggling, I look to the word, heard every word that he spoke to me. He said, pick up the pen and put down the sword, lift your head and stand tall for me. Live your life like you were called to be, stay bulletproof and seek the truth, steer from the things that I disapprove. This world is rotten like a cavity, gotta shed some weight like an amputee. Unashamed, I'll shine bright for the majesty, cause the world needs you now more than ever. We're weak alone, but we're strong together. Heavy hearts made light as feather, in every storm with you I weather. When I'm in his plan, there's no stopping me. With all of God's options, no time for sleep. So with the lights down, we gon' flip it up and get the movement on and call the cavalry. I hope that it's not too late for the whole world to seek your face. Scream your name from the tops of every mountain, so that every beating heart, the lost, the broken, the fallen apart, I'm the grace in your name, O Creator.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
I believe in his name. He didn't come here for fortune or fame. He brought the light to the world to give us something we didn't deserve.
I don't deserve you.
Say that I do. So I'ma do everything I can for you. I'll go to fight for you and I would die for you. You paid all my debts, all of my sins, the things I regret. You gave me light when I had none left. You picked me up when I was depressed. All of my sins, I was forsaken, I confess. You forgave them. You showed me mercy I never deserved. So with my life, I'm gonna serve. Even on my darkest days, I remember your face. The blessings you showed me through grace. Counting my days in this place. Until I come home, just know that I'm making some waves. Until the day that I die, I'm put in my grave. I'm screaming your name cause you save.
I hope that it's not too late for the whole world to seek your face. We'll scream your name from the tops of every mountain so that every every beating heart. The lost, the broken, the fallen apart can find the grace in your name, O Creator.
And there we go. Wasn't that fun? That was good. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that a lot. I'll just quickly pause this randomly because, like, something about Jesus not backing down for 18 minutes just randomly came up there. But yeah, thanks for sharing that with me, Pearl. I really appreciate it. We'll swap the screen back over to myself. There we go. So yeah, go check out Xlek, or Lek as it's pronounced. I'll leave some links down below after this show again. I'll leave links. I didn't know I was going to play that, sorry, so I've not really prepared anything right now, but Pearl is in the chat sharing details there. If she wants to maybe post a link herself right now, that would be useful. But yeah, guys, some more music for you there, a bit of a mid-show break. It seems to be a habit of mine now, something I'm doing. If you have any music yourself that you would like to share, preferably biblically based in some way, or truther based in some way, you know, whatever it is, let me know and I'll give it a listen and we'll see if we can squeeze it in somewhere on these live shows. Okay, so some questions were asked, some highlights were made. I got two here. One from Chase Crow. He says, question, how do they accurately predict meteor showers and what are they actually? What's your take on debris that falls to Earth, pieces of the firmament? Well, you know, it's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, biblically speaking, the stars are angels. And I know people think, oh, no. I don't mean like white robe wearing winged angels with harps. I mean, they're some kind of psychedelic orb-like entity that circles in and itself, probably covered in eyes in some strange way. Like, it's like a psychedelic, freaky-looking form of some sorts, but it's an angel. It has a function within creation, and its function is to be a star, okay? And it has its set path and everything. I think when we see meteor showers, that could be angels leaving their allotted path. That's the first one. Maybe coming to Earth. It could be a sign of rebellion, a cyclical new wave of the army or something. It could be a representation of something perhaps happening in the spiritual realm. And I know it's cyclical in nature and they can't predict a lot of these things, but I think they lie to us about how accurate their predictions are sometimes. I think they knew it was coming because of a spiritual thing, not because of cycles of cosmic proportions. So it could be something like that, an occult in nature. It could be quite literally just pieces of ice on the firmament falling. I've heard that one quite a lot before. Cryogenic meteors are quite literally giant chunks of ice that fall out of the sky. I don't mean like they were formed like little balls in a cloud and there's really big. I'm talking like giant slabs of ice have been known to fall to the ground before. They're called cryogenic meteors. That's what they officially call them. And back in my old days, like 2014 days, there's this model called the concave Earth. And the guy, Stephen Christopher, who kind of talked about that quite a lot. And he was an absolute narcissistic psychopath. But he had this interesting model, which he was very skilled with 3D modeling stuff, and he made examples of it. And the concave Earth is basically still a sphere, but we're living on the inside of the sphere, walking on the inside of the crust. And when we look up, we're actually looking up at a giant glass sphere, which holds the waters and all the stars. And the kingdom of God is right in the middle of the Earth. And we live on the edges of the Earth within the sphere. It's an enclosed system still, but it's not a dome above us. It's actually a concave. So it's curving upwards, not round. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's the opposite from our perspective. But because of the way the glass works, it warps our perception. And then it looks like a flat horizon all around us and all this type of thing. So he had his own ways of explaining it. But he always went on about the cryogenic meteors. And he's saying it's because there's ice on this glass sphere, basically, that is falling all the time. And it can create these effects when it falls. And it could be that they're simply just tracking weak points on the sphere. And they know when it's going to fall. So they say, oh, a meteor shower's coming soon or something like that. I don't know. I'm throwing ideas out there that stick. It could be it's all just like cyclical in nature because it's like more of a timing method within the creation, like a clock. And it's things that are happening in the sky are there for seasons, times and seasons, you know, as God intended. And it's just another one of those events, and it's nothing to be taken as anything else other than literally just lights in the sky streaking to tell you something's about to happen, maybe. Just like people use the moon for harvest, we should use those streaks for something very specific we just don't know about anymore. Maybe it's like a lost art form. I don't know. I don't have an answer. I just know it's not what they've told us. Like what they've officially told us those things are is not the truth. So we're going to have to figure it out. And that's all I've really got right now, Chase, unfortunately. A lot of ideas and theories, but nothing solid, unfortunately. Oh, what else have we got here? Paul, could you touch on the different types of demons, says Bruce. Some want you dead before you're saved. Others want to reside in you and enjoy the carnal senses. Some are Nephilim spirits. Well, I would say pretty much about 98% of them are Nephilim spirits. I think I'm going to leave 2% wiggle room to say that perhaps maybe some of them are those people who change their DNA. The mixing of kinds people in the Book of Jasher just before the Flood. It's possible when a human who has Nephilimified themselves or turned themselves into a mutant, when they die, they also get stuck on the earth and have the same fate as the Nephilim. And in therefore, they become spirits, so demons, as we understand them. And I think there are varying degrees within that camp of evil, you know, of good and bad, and passivity. When it comes to Nephilim spirits specifically, I think they are pretty malevolent. They're working with the fathers who created them, the rebellious angels, and Satan. You know, they're working with the adversary to destroy us, steal, kill, and destroy. And I think there's more ambivalence in the lower ranks of these human hybrids. You know what I mean? It's kind of like they're not wholly evil, but they're not good because they made the choice to corrupt themselves to begin with and this type of thing. So, but yeah, I think there are certainly like ways these Nephilim manifest around us. They do seem to, it's the psychedelic in nature. These are psychedelic principles, which are hard for us to comprehend from our physical, normal viewpoint. But it's the idea that when something's disembodied, the only way it can interact with the physical world is in a lesser state, a lesser form. So they tend to manifest more as, how to describe this? Like the spirit of something. So the spirit of lust, like they come out as emotions in people or desires in people. The spirit of anger, the spirit of lust, the spirit of gluttony, the spirit of wrath, the spirit of I don't know, slot laziness or sloth, or the spirit of something like that, you know. And they tend to possess people and make them manifest certain aspects or forms or attitudes or emotions or beings or ways of being, and that's the demon influence. But it's difficult for them to like take over a body fully, I'd say, and just be who they were beforehand. They can only like tweak our realm a little bit and interact with it in very minor ways, and they need more extreme methods of strengthening their connection to us because they've been cut off from the physical realm. So when it comes to things like costumes, like I talk about the costume of a clown being a way people can channel them more thoroughly, shall we say. So when you dress like a clown, you're mirroring the entity in the spirit realm. You're looking like it. And that creates a crossover in the physical and the spiritual, where it can manifest into the physical realm in the entity, that in the person, the shaman or the channeler who's looking like them. It creates like a tunnel, you know, of some kind, or a bond, so they can manifest more readily through a vessel, you know. But even then, they can never fully control the human. It's not that easy. They can subtly influence the person then to do stuff. And they often try and make it seem like the person is having the thoughts themselves. It's like this, if a demon gets into an individual this way, or anyway, they tend to make the person think a thought. Like, oh, I could really go for a beer right now. Something like that, you know. And the person will think they had that thought. Like, they want to go and get the beer. But really, it's the demon influencing the person to get up and drink that thing. And once the person chooses to drink that thing, the demon within the person now gets to taste it using the person's tongue as like a way of like getting into it and feeling those senses, you know. But even then, I feel like it's a dampened down, lesser form of experience than having their own body, because it's still ours. It's still our body, and it's the property of Jesus Christ, you know, not them. Not they don't have any authority to be there, really. They don't have the right, any rights to squat within us, because we are the temple of God. So I think it's like they are weak. They're very weak. They're not as strong as we think they are. And we can strengthen those connections through means like drugs, channeling through costumes is another powerful one as well, and ritual and sacrifice and things like this. So it's all about willingness. If a vessel isn't willing or doesn't know that the demon's manifesting in them, I think it's usually a lot less influence and power and control over them. But yeah, demons, I don't think they're as complicated as we have mythologized them to be or fictionalized them to be in a lot of media. I think they are simply just the disembodied spirits of the Nephilim that were on the earth, and a small percentage of them may be of people who mutated themselves, and that's it. I don't think there's many more classes other than that. But in terms of different types, I mean, I'm sure they all have their own individual personalities, but the way they manifest in people is that they all have their own lusts and desires. Now, there is a particular type of entity that's seen by a lot of people in the spirit realm called the Hat Man, which is pretty distinct and seems to be separate from the other weird forms we find, you know. But you get this guy turning up, and he's kind of like a bureaucrat of some kind. I feel like he's like the lawyer of the spirit realm. He's like the tax collector of the spirit realm or something. He comes to an individual when there's a soul contract involved. And he's there to make sure the contract's being fulfilled, legally speaking, spiritually and legally speaking. I feel like that's his role. And he is probably more likely an angel of some kind, a fallen one, one who's not working benevolently, you know, has agendas at play. And I consider him, that's more like what he is, the Hat Man. If you ever played Half-Life before, he's the G-Man. And you'll know what I mean if you played Half-Life. I think the Hat Man is more like that. And while we're out there dealing with the Combine or all the creatures from Zen, you know, he's just wandering around with his briefcase in the background. You can always out of reach, always there, just observing the situation. I feel like that's the Hat Man in our reality. He's some kind of business demon. It's odd. He tends to observe rather than get involved, but when he's around, his presence is chilling. It's pure hatred. He doesn't like you. Okay, that's clear. Is he a demon? I don't know. I'm not sure. Is it the devil himself? Who knows? Who honestly knows? But there you go. There's me touching on different types of demons loosely for you there. But have no fear. All of them are under the authority of Christ, and you have authority over them through Christ in his name and his power and his authority. You can, by proxy, use Christ's authority over them if you so choose to take that free gift. So use it when in doubt. That's what I'll say. Let me just quickly scroll down. Don't worry, Paul, I'll buy both book and audio. I can listen when I have time. I will read it. Yeah, well, like I said, you can read along or listen at the same time. Excuse me one second. I think I'm about to, you know, you got a sneeze, just on the cusp of sneezing, and it's just not quite happening. I'm feeling that right now. So if I randomly just turn away and sneeze, I apologize. Smash that like button, says Denise Hamilton. Thank you very much. We've got Beck from Oz. Beck, I saw your video. You shared it with me, didn't you, about the thing you saw in the sky? I'm going to share it now, actually. I'm going to find that email and share with you guys what Beck from Oz shared with me, because it was freaky stuff. Of this black entity in the sky just flying around. Honestly, it's I'm all for it. I've seen this kind of stuff before, and you captured a fantastic image, a fantastic clip there. Where is it? I've got it wrong. Where is that email? Here it is. I found it now. So I'm going to quickly play that. Right. Give me a second. Let's turn that down. Share the screen. Here it is. So check out this video. All right. Check this out. And this again, this is from Beck from Oz YouTube channel. And yeah, this was interesting. So the sky is already looking weird from her perspective. I'm sure she lives there and she knows this isn't right. And then this thing appears in a second. Right.
Get over it, guys. We've got to move on. The kingdom of heaven is near. This is just
there ridiculous. It is.
Take our mind off stuff. Get us to fear. Get us to not walk in faith. No, not doing it. Sorry. Bye. No way. Fear not, for he is with us. Fear not, for he is our God. He will strengthen us.
Right, so I don't know if you guys are noticing this, right? But in the top right corner, I'll pull it back. There's something like just flying around, like this black dot. And that is not a fly, by the way, with the way it's moving. It's in the sky. It's doing this in the sky.
The kingdom of heaven is near.
There it is.
This is just ridiculous. Take our mind off stuff. Get us to fear. Get us to not walk in faith. No, not doing it. Sorry. Bye. No way. Fear not, for he is with us. Fear not, for he is our God. He will strengthen us and help us. And
it's almost like it's reacting to her prayer.
Righteous. Right hand.
It's like as soon as she started talking about Christ, this thing appeared.
I love you all and I cannot explain.
Look at it.
What is even going on in front of me here? Uh-oh. I'm seeing something in this video that is not... I've got one. It's worth the wait, wasn't it?
I believe this is in Brisbane, Australia.
This is. I go down, and I'm just showing you, I saw that flashing around.
Look at this thing.
So, what the heck? I'm going to keep it still as I can. What?
Now, I've seen stuff like this before. It looks like fish swimming through the air, as a fish would behave in water.
I'm telling you guys, that's not some bug. I'm looking away and looking out. There are no bugs. It's been raining. What's going on here? All right, we got a hot one.
So odd.
Look how big this thing is.
It's whipping around there, doing circles. Yeah, this thing's creepy. It's like it's just playing or something. Just playing around, you know what I mean? But yeah, thanks for sending that one. I thought it was good to share with you guys. But yeah, creepy. It's a weather balloon. A demon, obviously. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It could be an angel, could be a demon. It's probably a demon, more than likely. It's a manifestation of something from the spirit realm coming into the physical realm. I find it interesting that it turned up and started dancing around when she was talking about the authority of Christ and his kingdom. That's when it manifested. And that speaks volumes, really. I don't know what it means, but I don't think it's a coincidence, is what I'm trying to say. What's going on here? So yeah, there's two questions for you guys answered. Paul, do you think fairies are still around somewhere today, like Bigfoot? Yeah, probably. But everywhere fairies are actually mentioned throughout history, from what I've read, they're actually horrible monsters that you don't want to go anywhere near. They're not cute little things like Tinkerbell, you know. They're actually like really ugly, vicious, disgusting, creepy little gremlin things. And I think, yeah, they're probably still around. Yeah, they probably are. And I think fairies are likely hybridized humans, I would say. Like I said, from the mixing of kinds and Jasha. So just like every other cryptid. Yeah, I'd say they're probably still around. You know, we have the fairy dolmens all over the UK as well, and portals. I think the fairies can also be manifestations of those hybrid humans from the spirit realm coming into the physical. People can summon them like they would summon a demon, you know. But make no mistake, I think when it comes to like human-like demon or monsters that have a hybridized feature. So a fairy is a human and an insect mixed together, basically, isn't it? That's basically what it is. So hybrid humans, mixing of kinds, just before the Book of Jasher, just before the flood in the Book of Jasher, manifesting. So I think some of them probably are still died in the flood and got stuck on the other side, but we can bring them back here just like we channel demons through probably summoning rituals. You probably could get fairies to come through to our side, you know, just beyond the rainbow, as they say. And the rainbow bandwidth of colors is our perception. That's all we can see. So if you get to the end of the rainbow and start opening up those perceptions and seeing the spirit realm, you're going to see it manifested full of clown monsters and fairy monsters, no doubt, no doubt at all. Or self-dribbling basketballs or machine elves, as they like to call them, from a Terence McKenna worldview. So yeah, you know, yes and no, they are still around and they are not still around simultaneously, I'd say. But make no mistake, you don't want to mess with a fairy, like a real fairy. From the tales, they're actually really horrible, vicious, disgusting monsters that eat you. They're not pleasant, friendly, loving things at all. I see things every day now. Turn my voice off, says Beck from Oz. Sorry, Beck, I didn't see that message. It appears when I say the kingdom, says Beck. Exactly, yeah, it does. Looks like a bug to me, even has its wings ghosted. No, that thing wasn't moving like a bug. No, it was, I think it's insulting to our intelligence to say stuff like that. That second one's not a bug, exactly. It's not a bird either, the way it stops and starts and then slowly just swims and then darts over there, then circles around a bit. Like they're not, they move like a creature that's playing in the water. That's what it moves like. Like a fish. I have fish, you know, it moves like a fish, but in the sky. It's really odd. Blessing. Connor's in the house. Thanks for being here, Connor. I appreciate it. Why isn't it whenever we see these things, we never seem to think of telling them to freeze in place in the name of Jesus or telling them to leave and watch what happens, says James Carter. Well, maybe Beck can do that next time and come back with any results. You're listening there, Beck. Next time you see one of these things, command it in the name of Jesus to stop and see what happens, and to command it to leave and see what happens. Politics is Masonic theatre. It's good to see you, man. I think I'm following you on Twitter, though I'm not on there very often. I appreciate your work, man. What have we got here? He says, don't let the haters put you off the little season. It's over. It's our immediate future and important for everyone to know. Imagine if the apostles quit after a few naysayers, the little season wins souls. You know, I agree. Look, I'm not quitting on the little season. Like, I still believe it. I'm still talking about it. But I've got a family, man. You know, it's not as simple as that. Like, I've got to think about what my work and the effect it has on other people as well, you know. I believe it, and I'm a proponent of it. I've done a lot of work on it. The work's still there for people to find and share. It's not over. Like, I think we've just begun, really. But I'm not the leader. I'm not looking to put myself in a position where I'm a target. That's just not clever, you know. It's just not smart. And I've got other people to think about other than myself, of course. So that's all it is. But at the same time, I'll speak the truth when asked. You know, I'm not going to deny the kingdom in any way. Could that be a laser projection tech they're doing all over USA? They spray sky first to make the object project better, says Nick Matthews. Could be. It could be, but that was in Brisbane, not the US. So, you know, when you bring up Jesus Christ, UFO, Bigfoot, Dogman, Hatman, Black Eyed Kids, all that nonsense, stop straight in its tracks in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah, absolutely. All authority. Absolutely. No fear. No fear of these things. Just as long as you've got the full armor of God, you're covered by the Holy Spirit and the blood of Christ, and you call on his name and authority in these situations, they will flee. They have to. They have no choice. They are under his dominion. He won. He has the keys. I like the commentary. We've got a hot one. I like that too. Yeah, that was good. audiobooks are great for combining with long days and DIY, says Ghost Hardware. Yeah, well, you know, I know audiobooks are definitely something. I listen to audiobooks as well. I should have done this a long time ago. It's just time, you know. I'm trying my best. If angels didn't have free will, how could they have fallen, says Peep. Who says they didn't have free will? I think they probably did. So, like, why wouldn't they? They're thinking creatures, you know? And I think corruption was found in them, and they made a choice to go against the will of God. That's it, really. Why couldn't they? What's stopping them? Like, nothing, really. Yeah, it's an odd thing to say, really. It looked like it was moving like someone moving a mouse, says Ain't Buying It. I know, right? Yeah. In Irish or Scottish folklore, fairies are not insects, but they are troublemaking magic small men, I believe. I could be completely off. Yeah, what I'm saying is, though, they are humans who have turned themselves into troublemaking little small things. Probably by mixing themselves with insects and other small creatures and mischievous things. There was a lot of mixing of kinds going on and hybridization happening during that time. So I think that's where they all came from, which is why they're human-like, but different, you know? The coming beast system is an intentional deception. The digital beast system, well, you know, it's all about control at the end of the day, and they'll do anything they can to gain as much control over their subjects as possible. So I think there's still going to be the whole this digital prison thing coming in the future, kind of unavoidably. We're kind of walking ourselves into it as a civilization, to be honest, and I don't see it turning around anytime soon. Question, Paul, do you think someone who is demonically oppressed can cast a demon out of another person who is also oppressed or possessed? It depends how much they believe in Jesus Christ and his authority and actually utilize it and use it, I suppose. But there's plenty of examples of people casting out demons in Jesus' name, and he's saying, turn from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. You know, so I think anybody can cast out a demon by evoking the authority of Christ and reminding the demon that demons have no authority over bodies. They're the property of God at the end of the day. So I guess anyone legally speaking can do a citizen's arrest on a demon, but I think so. Yeah, I would say you probably could. Yeah, there's power in the name alone. But then it's all about, you know, did the person who cast the demon out, who had the demon cast out, was he sincere in keeping the demons out? Because if not, then the demon will come back with just 7 more of its mates, is how we understood it to be, you know. So you got to get filled with the Holy Spirit afterwards. You got to do everything you can to keep the temple clean and holy and the dwelling place for the Holy Spirit, and walk uprightly and put on the full armor of God to protect yourself from more demons coming in. And that's not about being saved. You can still be oppressed and saved, you know, but at the same time, it's kind of, you can be demonized and saved. Never possessed, though, I don't think. But you can certainly be oppressed, as you made the distinction there. That's true. Just went down the satanic ritual abuse rabbit hole. Very dark. I had to take a break from it. It was getting to me. Yeah, Marcus, that one's... I did that one years ago, and I've certainly taken a step back myself as well. But yeah, that one is awful. What they do behind closed doors. We'll be getting into a lot of that on the new channel, the art channel, understanding creativity. If you haven't seen it already, it's this one here. Over 800 subscribers already, which is wonderful, and about almost 2,000 views on the new video, which is wonderful as well. If you haven't already, go over to Understanding Creativity and subscribe. Get on there. I'll leave a link in the description, but subscribe to Understanding Creativity. Let's get that one up. But I am getting plenty of guests on in the future, and who have seen the corruption of the art industry, you know. I'm already in talk with an Australian professor, and she's got some great presentations of the occult in art and the dodgy stuff that was going on throughout the classics and the occultists of the early 20th century as well, and the people they worked with and the things they were depicting and the obvious connections to the occult. So that's lovely. I'm talking to her again on Sunday. I'm going to make a presentation out of what she showed me in our little preliminary show. I've got someone who actually and draws the animations for the Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles. He's coming on. He's got some stories to tell, apparently. Apparently he's a fan. He listens regularly while doing his drawings and working his commissions. I think he for the NBA as well. He does some animation and all sorts of things. So we've got an industry insider coming on soon. But yeah, I've got someone else I'm trying to get in contact with who is, has been very well connected with some very dark and well-known dodgy dealings going on involving just awful, awful stuff, really awful stuff. But how she's an artist who was involved in the whole thing and a victim as well of the whole thing and has a lot of stories to tell about how the art industry abused her and the satanic elites abused her as an artist as well. So I think that's going to be interesting, and we're going to expose all that on this channel. So look forward to that. Get over there, subscribe. That's all coming. I'm not going to post as often as I post on this one, but there will be content going on there, maybe bi-weekly or weekly, give or take. Hey Paul, wondering if you're going to do any contribution to It's Lucifer Singing to You, now that you have a new channel specifically for the corruption of modern art forms. Yes, that's true. That is a series I hold near and dear to my heart, I'll admit. Maybe I'll re-upload the videos I've already made to that one. The last one I did was Inico being broken down, the artist that was kind of being forced on us through Instagram. And yeah, she was obviously influenced by Lucifer and is a Luciferian and is representing Lucifer in all of her music videos. And I don't think she even realizes it. She's just a patsy, you know. But yes, I'll be doing more on that series for sure. Absolutely. I love that series. It's near and dear to my heart. So much for Ask Me Anything. I didn't know this was pay to play, says Taco Destructo. What are you talking about? Shut up. Just shut up. Like, I literally answered so many questions from so many random people who haven't paid anything. And I'm going to answer the ones that do send me a nice little donation. Why wouldn't I do that? Like, stop being so salty. Now, some people, you're not entitled to me for me to answer your questions. You do know that, right? Like, I don't owe anything to anybody for anything at all. Like, I'm not beholden to you. And for just for that attitude and reason, I'm not going to answer your question now, wherever it is and whatever it is. Honestly, some people. Already subs, says Marcus. Good stuff. Looking into SRA will definitely darken your mind. It will. It will. Yeah. I don't go down that rabbit hole unless you've got a strong disposition, is what I'll say. Do you know about the Hampstead cover-up? I do remember that one. I remember watching the video of the two kids, the two blonde kids as well, and that guy asking them questions about, and the stuff they come out with. Oh, it's horrible. Oh, it's really bad. Yeah, yeah, I'm getting flashback memories of that one, Pearl. I'm not sure how much I can even talk about it on here, to be honest. This is the platform. It's awful what the children, especially, what they do. I can't. It's probably not worth talking about right now. Mankind was not meant to serve the ground, Michael. We were made to subdue and dominate the earth. Yeah, I was just thinking the other day, like, what was mankind's first job? And it was he was a gardener. I think other than I suppose a broodmare and just multiply as much as you can and subdue the earth. Like, I think the man's first real job was to be a gardener, to tend to the earth, to tend to the Garden of Eden, you know, make it pretty. So when I'm doing my gardening right now in spring, you know, and planting and everything, and my garden's looking really nice, by the way. I'm gonna have to show you pictures when it's finished. I've got some minor things I need to do here and there. But when I'm gardening now, I get this peace feeling and thinking, like, this is what God made us for, you know. Like, quite literally, he created Adam to tend to his garden. That was our first job. Yeah, and people think at least it wasn't a paper round. Am I right? You know. Are you on London time? 12:14. It is, yeah. That's the time for me. I'm going to be ending this show very soon, guys, because like I said, I got to cut it short. They treat you like an OnlyFans creator, says Cult of Con. I know, right? Like, I'm not going to be showing you my butthole anytime soon. And like, I don't owe you anything, you know? I don't. Yeah, that's not how it works. Do you believe that actual portals exist? If so, where do they come from and where do they lead? I don't think portals in the traditional sense exist, not like Stargate style, no. I think I've heard the idea that some of the Nephilim may have survived the Flood due to pocket dimensions being created by angels to hide their offspring. And these pocket dimensions are like afterlives for the Nephilim in a way. So something like Valhalla, for example, a place where the warriors can go and drink mead until for eternity at the eternal party, you know, that type of thing. And the idea was that Valhalla is an actual place in which the disembodied spirits of the ancient warriors and the mighty men of renown, the Nephilim, are residing. And there is a portal, I suppose, to get there and for them to come back to the earth. And I think Bigfoot, for example, is within one of these pocket dimensions. And they can manifest in and out of reality through them, through something like a portal, I suppose. But I think it's a lot more complicated than we can perceive and understand from our sensory perception reality. But at the same time, in the Enoch, it's talking about how the sun and the moon come out of portals and exit through portals and re-manifest through portals. So what that means exactly is anyone's guess. Honestly, I have no idea. So yes and no, I would say, about the portals. I ask people about bread, says, what's your opinion on bread? And I would say, you know, it's a great way to gain weight. I wouldn't recommend it. A rabbit hole leads to potholes, made a wrong turn somewhere. Have you ever read the book of Etty Dorfer? No, I've not read that one. No. The internet is dead, says. Right, guys, I'm going to end the show there. Masonic Politics says, sorry, just catching up. I totally understand. Being the face of a movement that goes against the powers that be is a heavy thing. I'll make a post soon about the Mahdi saying Gog Magog are aliens. Is that what he's saying? That weirdo. That Gog Magog are aliens. What a joke. Yeah. Me too, Paul. The garden, a good place for prayers and thankfulness. Yeah, I've sat in the garden today enjoying the fruits of my labor, you know, watching the blooms come up and my Boston ivy climb its trellis that I planted a year ago. And it's like, it's all coming together. It's all coming together. I have birds using the bird bath every morning now, a starling here, a blackbird there, you know, a tree sparrow there every now and then. Butterflies are starting to turn up and enjoy the flowers I planted for them, and bees are coming in. My garden is on the map for wildlife now. It's becoming a place, a meeting center. And it's kind of like, here, it worked. It works, you know. And my son running around with his bug catcher trying to catch flies is definitely a cute thing to behold. So there we go. Let's talk about my garden. I thought we had some fun moments here, didn't we? We laughed, we cried, we talked about aliens, we talked about cryptids, we talked about the Nephilim, you know, we talked about the demons and the nature of demons, we talked about SRA, we've talked about all sorts of things today. It's been a sort of fun eclectic mix of questions and answers. We put people in their place. We brought people up. We shared some music, like Pearl's husband there and his song at the halftime point. And I guess we should always end with a song, shouldn't we? So I guess I'll play one of my own songs. Let's see what's going on. Let me find my songs first, because they're on some random place somewhere, which is difficult to get to. And I'm hoping they're going to stop putting my stuff behind. Yeah, so okay, I'll play a cover for you guys, all right? So I've got this song here, and this one is not really conspiracy related at all. It's just a funky jam, okay? But this is from a cover of a guy called Devendra Banhart. He is like a proper new age hippie type, nonsense type of guy, all right? I don't support his philosophies at all, like not even a little bit, all right? I just do not. But he made this song called Long Haired Child, which I really liked. And I used to listen to it a lot back in the day. And I did this cover with a friend of mine who I was in a band with, and he plays the bass for this, and I play the guitar and sing. And we made our own funky, like, a funkier version of the original. The original doesn't sound like this. So we kind of made it our own. We took the lyrics and made our own, added our own little riff in there, our own little solo and all sorts of things. And this is that song for you guys. I'm just going to close out with this. So like I said, guys, if you do want a copy of The Nephilim Look Like Clowns, I do have two paperbacks available and two hard covers left. This is all I've got. Two hardcovers, two paperbacks. My 12 batch order is gone now, practically. So if you want that, email me at understandingconspiracy@gmail.com and I can order, well, we can sort of get one out to you anywhere in the world. If you would, please go over to any podcast format where Understanding Conspiracy is and like me on there. Give me a 5-star review. I would really appreciate that as well. Make sure to follow on there. Everything I do audio wise will go on there. Any show I do goes on there on my channel. Make sure to subscribe to the new channel, Understanding Creativity. That really helps me. It's really important. And we're going to get more coming on there very, very soon. Make sure to go after this show to check out the main character podcast on the Cult of Con as well. He usually does a show on a Wednesday evening. It's quite late. It might be starting soon. So I'll plug that while I'm here as well. He's in the chat, so you can always click on his name. And thanks for listening, guys. And as always, God bless.
Winter's day is cold and I know for certain if I go outside my head don't start hurting. It's a winter's day and I know for certain if I go outside my head don't start hurting. So I wrap it up in materials to keep my head from getting cold. Wrap it up in materials to keep my head from getting cold. And I said to my friends when I have kids, yes I said to my friends when I have kids, but I'm gonna want this child to be a long-haired child. I'm gonna want this child to be a long-haired child. I'm gonna want this child to be a long-haired child. I'm gonna want this child to be a long-haired child. Well, I go outside and I mingle in the snow. Yes, my head looks like globe, ain't no hair on it at all. Do I buy a wig? Should I grow my beard? Oh, and comb it upwards and around my ears. Well, I can't wait for the kids to come. I can't wait for the kids to come and say, hey, babe, you don't want no barber shop. Because I won't. Yes, I know for certain I want this child to be a long-haired child. I'm gonna want this child to be a long-haired child. I'm gonna want this child to be a long-haired child. I'm gonna want this child to be a long-haired child. Well, sugar rim, baby, let me know. As the snow, it hits my temple. Oh, I wanna rush home and put on the kettle now. Yeah, yeah, I want my little brain and bald head. Well, I'm too cold to know if I'm alive or dead. I was there.